Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 90 minutes, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on our conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get to the heart of this episode, our condolences to the McMahon family on the loss of Vince McMahon's brother, Rod. I believe he was 77 years old, passed away the other day, and certainly tragic news for the McMahon family, and our thoughts and prayers are with them. We also want to clear up a little confusion about this WWE Network moving to Peacock, which is the NBC streaming service. So, in effect, what's happening is this. The WWE has sold their network. They've sold it to Peacock for 5 years, the rights to stream their network exclusively, for 5 years for $1 billion, with a B, dollars. What does this mean for you? Well, it means the WWE's kind of washed their hands. They've washed their hands of it. They got their $1 billion in their pocket, and now this becomes Peacock's baby. So I know a lot of fans wrote to me and said, am I still going to get it if I have my $9.99? No, you're not. The WWE Network as an app is going to cease to exist. And you're going to have to get Peacock. Now, there's some good news and there's some bad news on this. The good news is Peacock is going to run you about $4.99, which is half of what the WWE Network costs. That's the good news. The bad news is I don't know how hard the WWE is going to work to put any more exclusive content on there. They're going to do all their pay-per-views on there, but I don't know how much more exclusive content we're going to see. I don't know what the actual fine print of the contract is, whether they have said they will, in fact, continue to do the same amount of exclusive content or they're just going to give them their library. I don't know. But I do know you're going to have to make the transition over to Peacock. Now, like I said, it's half the price, plus you're going to get all the streaming service that Peacock offers with their network shows and things like that. So that's not the end of the world. However, Peacock is not available right now on all streaming services. For instance, if you have an Amazon Fire Stick, you can sideload it. You can get the Peacock network on there, but about once every 3 or 4 weeks they shut that down, and you have to re-sideload it again. I don't know if they're going to fix this problem. I would assume they're going to have to. I would assume they're going to have to, because otherwise Roku and a couple others is the only way you're going to get this. Now, here's more bad news. The streaming service itself is not very good. As a matter of fact, I would say it's a step down from the WWE Network. There's many things about Peacock, which I had the free version for a while. You can get a free version. It will not include the WWE Network, but you can get a free version of it. Now, granted, the free version may be worse. Maybe if I paid for the whole version, it would run smoother. It did not run well for me. On top of not running well for me, its search engine is 100% useless, and no one has actually addressed whether or not the WWE is going to keep that same search engine. Right now, I can go to the WWE Network and search anything I want, and it comes right up. Peacock really doesn't have anything like that that's functional. They have a search engine, but it really isn't functional. You could type in the name of any show that you want to watch that they certainly offer, and it doesn't come up. So they're going to have to right that ship too, or there's going to be an awful lot of people who are unhappy with this. Now, the WWE needs you to watch the pay-per-views, obviously, but at the same time, it's kind of washing their hands of the fans again, isn't it? Because what's going to end up happening here is that if you don't watch the WWE Network, they still got the $1 billion in their pocket. They don't care if you subscribe or not at this point. The only way they really care is how it affects the ratings of Raw and SmackDown. If you're going to watch the pay-per-views, you're probably going to watch Raw and SmackDown. Other than that, the WWE could care less. So what is their incentive to make their network so much better now? What's the incentive? They've got a $1 billion guarantee. And this is what the WWE has been doing for many years now, is kind of phasing out how do we have to not rely on the fans to make our money. Well, we'll sign exclusive huge network deals for television shows, which, yes, the fans bring us ratings, but even if they don't in the long run, we've got that $1 billion in our pocket. We'll go to Saudi Arabia, where if the fans don't want us to go and they get mad at us, too bad. We got the $1 billion in our pocket. We'll give up the WWE Network or sell it to Peacock, and if Peacock makes it a disaster, who really cares? After 5 years, we could take it back, and we got the $1 billion in our pocket. This is what WWE's game is. How do we make sure that we get the money up front in case we don't have a growing fan base or a large fan base? It's the same thing they do with action figures, let's say. The WWE don't care if you run out and buy the newest action figure because they got the money in their pocket from whatever company has decided that they want to license that those figures. Now, it's nice, but at the end of the day, they've got their money. It's the equivalent of you owning a lemonade stand, working every day, making, you know, $25. Somebody comes along and says, I'll give you $50,000 for your lemonade stand, but I'm going to sell iced tea. And you say, I don't care. But you got the reputation, so we're going to leave your name on it. Okay. What do I care if the iced tea's any good? I've got my money. This is what the WWE's doing on a regular basis. They're eliminating the need for them to really please their fans, other than to try to get you to watch the television shows because they need that. There's no house show, so they don't care about that, and they like that. To a certain extent, they like that. Less travel, less expense. They now control who you cheer for and who you boo for because they have the audio button. Of course they want fans back in the arena because they realize something is missing. There's an enthusiasm and an excitement that's missing, and they also want to read fans' reactions a bit better. But they're doing just fine. During this pandemic, Vince McMahon has become much, much richer than he was before it. Let's just put it that way. So, for the fans that's been asking, no, the WWE app will not continue to work. Yes, you will have to subscribe to Peacock. Yes, Peacock is cheaper than the WWE Network. No, it does not stream as well. No, it is not available on every single streaming device yet. But trust me when I tell you that Peacock, NBC knows that, and they're going to have to work something out. They certainly understand if every subscriber to the WWE Network goes over to them, they're going to have to get this straightened out. My issue is when it's if they do, let's just say 95% of people who have the WWE Network switches over to Peacock, and then you have to understand that there's going to be some people who say, well, $10 was a little high, but $5? I'll pay the $5. You might get more. All of these new subscribers is going to mean a glut in your system. I hope you're ready for it. You know, because 1 million people aren't streaming reruns of Leave It to Beaver. Sorry to tell you. And if you're streaming that and it's streaming like crap, what's going to happen when it's live? So you better be ready for that, because I'm telling you the fallout will be massive. The fallout will be massive if in the middle of WrestleMania people are getting, buffer signals or getting shut down or it's freezing or the voice drops out. It's going to be massive fallout. And if the WWE thinks that doesn't affect them, it does. Because if people get aggravated, they're going to say, forget it. I'm not going to subscribe to the damn WWE network or the Peacock network, I should say, the Peacock service. And in turn, they say, well, I don't know what even happened in the pay-per-view, so I'm not going to tune into Raw. I'm not going to tune into SmackDown because I've lost interest now. So I don't know, Mike. I don't know if it's a good move or not, but come March, middle of March, NBC now has the exclusive rights to the WWE network.
Right. And to tell you the truth, I just don't know. I mean, if it's as bad as you say it is with how they stream, how they're not able to stream, and it's like manure, then, yeah, a lot of people aren't going to watch and a lot of people aren't going to, subscribe. And like you said, they're not looking at Quantum Leap and Knight Rider and all that stuff, reruns of that stuff, They're not going to look at that. The wrestling fans aren't going to subscribe just for that,
No, and
so,
what
yeah.
makes it worse is when you're watching something like that and it's not buffering well, how the hell do you expect it to buffer well when there's a million people watching it and it's live? They better be ready for this. I mean, NBC has to understand that you're heading it in a different direction now, where there's going to be a massive amount of people all logging on at one time to watch an event. It's a little bit different than on demand. It's a little bit different than people saying, well, I'm on your server, but I'm not watching the same thing. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see how this goes. Todd, what's your overall feeling? I mean, at the end of the day, the WWE fans save $5, but, how's this going to work?
Well, to be honest with you, like you said, I don't think it's not going to work that well. Well, like you said, you said by the looks of it, the surface is bad on that Peacock thing. I remember in the beginning when I first described the WWE Network, I had a thing called Chromecast, and I kept lagging, I kept losing sound. I was like, I'm not using this again.
Yeah, look, NBC has to know. They spent $1 billion for the network, so they have to understand. They have to have people over there that realize this is going to be a glut on our system. We're going to have to upgrade everything. We got to prepare, because I don't think their first show is going to be WrestleMania. I think their first show is going to be Fastlane. So Fastlane is going to be the test run, isn't it? Because if Fastlane is unwatchable and drops out and buffers and you lose the sound and the picture quality goes from good to terrible, good to terrible, good to terrible randomly, people are going to lose their mind, because WrestleMania will be in a month and you ain't fixing it in a month. So you better have all your ducks in a row. You better be ready to go with this thing. You spent $1 billion on it, so I assume you would. But who knows? Anyway, let's get on to Monday Night Raw. I've threatened a few times to actually shut it off. There were a few times last night that I literally bolted up from my chair and walked away for a few minutes, because I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on over there. Usually you can blame it on, well, it's bad writing. Well, it's bad booking. Well, somebody messed up a match. Very seldom can you say, well, all three. All three. Last night it was all three. There came a time, probably around halfway into the second hour, where I literally stopped bolting up from my chair and walking away for a minute, and I just began to take this as satire, just as comedy. Because there's nothing else to take it as. For the first time in probably, oh, I don't know, maybe ever, to be honest, I don't remember if I ever felt this way. I looked at it as grown men and women making complete fools of themselves. That's what it seemed like. Grown men and women playing in the yard like children. And it just made me laugh. It's sad because this is not what wrestling is supposed to be. It's not what wrestling used to be. And the truth of the matter is, and I know I'm going to get made fun of here, I was so depressed by this that at literally midnight, I crawled into bed and I watched old WWF, actually, on YouTube because I could not sleep with that memory of wrestling in my head. I had to reassure myself that there were better times in wrestling and that wrestling was not what I just saw. That's how bad it is. Now, we start off with Drew McIntyre, who looks about as worse for wear from his COVID as, you know, Randy Orton does from a fake burn. Comes out. No one's afraid of it getting in his face, obviously. Goldberg wasn't afraid of getting in his face, huh? Everybody's yelling and screaming and sweating and sweat is flying and everything's good. And he basically says, well, I lost my sense of smell. Which could be good considering that Goldberg was going to be so much in his face a minute later. But I feel just as good as I ever did. Everything's perfectly fine and I'm fine and that's that. Out come the Miz and Morrison, who have ceased to be funny, have ceased to be interesting, have ceased to be anything except making complete fools out of themselves, which is another story because the Miz is so talented and such a great orator on the mic. And Morrison has all the athletic ability in the world, and he's used as a goofball. And they basically do their goofy nonsense, and then Bill Goldberg comes out, and because Bill Goldberg can't string two sentences together, he literally has made his appearance. He's gotten into his trunks. He's gotten onto a plane. He's flown to where he's going to be, so he can walk out and say, Sunday, you're next. That's great. Great. Riveting television, riveting. Then Drew McIntyre gives him the old wink and nod, and they decide they're going to beat up Morrison in the midst. Goldberg gives him a spear. Goldberg is sweating so bad at the end of the spear that it looks like somebody dumped a bucket of water on him, so I'm sure this match on Sunday is just going to be a brilliant, brilliant match. I don't know what to say about this. You've managed to make the Miz and Morrison a joke. And a parody. You've managed to make Drew McIntyre look like a vanilla plain face who just comes out to give us life lessons. And what can you say about Goldberg? There's not a soul I know who wants to see this match. Not one solitary soul. So there's a great way to start off Monday Night Raw, Mike. It really left a bad taste in my mouth right from the get-go and didn't get any better.
Right, and that's the thing. Look, when you got – I mean, look at – let's compare Goldberg to Edge. Now, we'll get to Edge, but you look at Edge and, you know, you look at Edge and think about it. You look at Edge and at least Edge can – at least do a match, maybe a 5 minute, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 12 minute match. Goldberg can't even do that, you know?
No, look, Goldberg, Goldberg is the proof that the WWE has built up no talent and they have nothing. Goldberg is the proof of that. You don't go back to a guy like Goldberg if you have something really solid in your roster. You just don't. You just don't. But now's where it really starts to get thick. Shayna Baszler against Charlotte Flair. By the way, could we see any more Charlotte Flair on the show? Why didn't she do all the guest announcing too? Could she do that maybe? How many times do we have to see Charlotte Flair in one show? Anyway, Charlotte Flair, Shayna Baszler. This lasts, I don't know, about 2 minutes of very, very sloppy work. To which, of course, Nia Jax attacks. Now, even though we've been told that Asuka is in the building and she is going to fight Alexa Bliss later, does her tag team partner, who is going to need her on Sunday, come to her defense? No. Who does? Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. Because only the WWE could make two women who look like that completely boring. These are the two most boring women on the planet. I mean, they have zero personality. They have zero appeal as a tag team. They are ridiculously boring. Ridiculously boring. It's not their fault. You give them nothing to do. Oh, we're trying to make them look tougher. Yeah, but they have no personality. Might as well have a fan jump in. That would be more exciting. Which leads to a six-man tag team match because guess who else comes down? Lacey Evans. So we have our six-man tag team match. And I thought something was wrong, but the WWE often does this thing where they will say, oh, we're going to restart the match after the break, and then they have a commercial break. They do that all the time. It's a disqualification. Then they go to commercial break and say, during the commercial break, they reverse their decision. We're going to start this match over. Well, that's kind of what they did. Shayna Baszler gets counted out, fighting with Charlotte Flair. We come back from the commercial break after Charlotte and Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke has declared the winner. And Adam Pearce is down there and is saying, we're restarting this match. Well, here's what really happened. They didn't hear the count. Shayna Baszler and Charlotte Flair did not hear the referee's count, and they legitimately got counted out when they were not supposed to be counted out. That's why everybody was looking around like, what do we do? I thought it felt a little funny. So they said, oh, well, we're going to have to ad-lib here. We're going to send them out and restart the match because the referee was wrong. How is the referee wrong? She was counted out. This leads to the heels winning when Nia Jax decides she's going to drop Dana Brooke directly on her head in an improvised weird powerbomb, which Dana Brooke is lucky to not be very seriously injured. Just plain sloppy. Where do I begin here? You know, I don't want to say anything I'm going to live to regret, but the bottom line is this. I'm kind of sick of women's wrestling. I'm starting to get sick of women's wrestling because I don't think you're trying very hard. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think you're trying very hard. I think you achieved main event status and said, that's fine. We don't have to bust our ass anymore. There's no glass ceiling to shatter. Shayna Baszler looks as confused as she can possibly be in the ring. I don't know what happened to her because she was fine in NXT. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke look like they're just trying to remember their moves as they're doing them. Now, this is the part where I do this. Oh, yes, I remember. And then they do it. And it's all boring because none of them have any personalities. It's just boring. I didn't tune in to watch women's wrestling all night long. I just didn't. I'm sorry. You want to have a match or two, fine. You want to waste the first hour of Raw on six women who at least five of them don't give a damn, apparently. Then you do that. This was awful. No excuse for being counted out and not knowing the referee's count. There's no excuse to have to restart a match because you screwed up, other than laziness, not paying attention, and not really caring. And this is what happens when you don't have a crowd. This is what happens when they're just little TV monitors and there's nobody really there. You think that they would have lost that count when the fans were saying, hey, no, they would have realized, well, wait a minute. Yeah, the count's there. This is what happens when you pipe in your crowd reaction. And this is what happens when wrestlers say, oh, there's nobody there really live to see us. It's no different than them watching us on TV. The camera will hide my mistakes. See, that's what we don't discuss often enough on this show. Those guys who are on the monitors, all they're seeing is what you're seeing on TV. So the cameras will just hide the mistakes. There's no fans there live that you have to play to. Wrestlers have gotten complacent, and some of them have gotten lazy, and this showed in this match. It's a terrible match. The first literal hour of Raw between the Drew McIntyre thing and this one match leading into another match, leading into restarting that other match, was just too much for me, Todd. I mean, it was horrendous.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was just terrible, and I want to watch not just the women's matches. I want to watch the other matches too, the men's, the guys' matches, and it's turning into like a Divas Fest every week, every match after match after match, mostly.
It really is. I mean, I didn't tune in to watch Glow, Mike. I'm getting tired of this. I'm sorry. My apologies to all of you women's wrestling fans, but I'm not a big on 5 matches out of 9 being women.
Right, and that's the thing. And we've talked about Charlotte Flair over and over and over again and how they're kind of catering to her and all that stuff. Now, if she's going to do this, and why are you if she's going to forget it because and become lazy, I mean, frankly, I wouldn't think that her father would be all that happy about that, you know, of her becoming that lazy. Now, as far as Nia Jax goes, it's what happened in that match is part and parcel of what she's done over the years. I mean, yeah, it didn't hurt. That move did not hurt her, did not hurt Dana Brooke, but it could have. And they got lucky. They played the, I mean, I don't want to say they played the odds, but they got lucky that it didn't. And this is just another example of why she needs to be fired.
Yeah, they got very lucky. Very lucky. I mean, you're playing Russian roulette with people at this point. You're putting them in there with Nia Jax and crossing your fingers and holding your breath. Is that really what you want to do? My God. And it's not bad enough that we have to have Charlotte Flair in a single match. Charlotte Flair in a 6-woman tag team match. Then we have to have Charlotte Flair backstage being knocked down by Lacey Evans when she confronts her with her dad. So let's see. Let's go through all the Charlotte Flair angles that's happening. Charlotte Flair is part of the tag team champions with Asuka. Charlotte Flair has an angle with Ric Flair and Lacey Evans. Charlotte Flair now apparently has some kind of connection with Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke that they'll come to her aid. How many different things is Charlotte Flair going to do? In the meantime, what do you got Asuka doing? She's virtually just a prop for Alexa Bliss. It's just sad. It's just sad. Then, because of course we do, Xavier Woods finally has another match against, oh, guess what? The last remaining member other than Mustafa Ali. It's not bad enough he fights T-Bar 1 week, and then he has to fight Mace the next week. Now he's got to fight Slapjack. And at least, if there's anything that came out of this match, I said, if Xavier Woods loses this match, Xavier Woods' career is over. If Xavier Woods can't beat Slapjack, then Xavier Woods might as well pack up his trombone and head somewhere because it's over. Now, here's the thing. Xavier Woods is one of those guys, I'm sorry to say, that needs other people around to be interesting. In other words, he comes alive when he's with his group. You ever see guys like that? You know, I've had friends like that. One-on-one, they're not too outgoing, and they're not all that funny, and they're not all that, you know, charismatic. But if they get into a large group of people, they are. If they get into a large group of people, they let go. They see you doing stuff, and then they go along with you, and the next thing you know, they're doing their thing. Xavier Woods is one of those guys. On his own, he's not interesting. And you didn't even help him. At least you could have done a little short interview with him backstage saying, you know, things have not been going my way. I talked to Kofi tonight and, you know, I told him if I can't get by this match, I really have to start rethinking where my career is going because this isn't working out. Make him interesting. No, he just marches out there. Now he's just doing a womp, womp, womp on his horn because he expects that you want to hear it, not because they're actually having a party. Did he seem to be in a festive, upbeat, New Day type mood? No. At least the WWE didn't make the mistake of having him lose. But that's just a setup for Mustafa Ali, who, by the way, is the least convincing heel in the history of professional wrestling. He looks about as menacing as Harvey Whippleman would as a professional wrestler. I'm sorry. He's a good wrestler. He's a good athlete. But he's born to be a face, and I'll tell you why, because he's the ultimate underdog. He's small. He's thin. He has no chops as a heel as far as really getting any. All he has to do is go back to something we said they should have done 6-8 months ago. Which is when Ali finally does come back, he should instantaneously be jealous of Kofi. We called this. We absolutely called this, but we didn't tell you to wait 6 months and make him a part of Retribution. We just said, go with this. Go with Ali trying to be humble, trying to be the better man, but eventually getting wore down by this and saying, you know what, Kofi, I don't like you. I'm bitter toward you. I hate you for what you did to me. You took away my chance. And I've tried and tried and tried to get it out of my head, and I can't. That would have been real. He's not a terrible, evil, horrible guy. He realizes his chance was blown, and he looks at Kofi as the person who did it. That's a good feud. This is not a good feud. This is ludicrous. This is a ludicrous feud. And he's not doing a good job. He's not convincing on the mic. He's not menacing. He's not anything. If T-Bar can't be the leader of this group, then you might as well forget it because you got to have the big story. You could have one guy like Slapjack. You can't have Ali be the leader of this team. Number one, he won't even wear the masks. I don't even know what the masks are for. Why don't you unmask the rest of them then? Number two, if he got any thinner, he would look like a mop handle. He's not like a guy that you think, oh, well, he's going to be tough. He's going to get in there and, man, he's going to be, you know, your average fan's bigger than him. He doesn't seem menacing. And he's trying to be menacing in that way. If he was trying to be a little, sneak thief, like a James Ellsworth, okay. Then you can be that way. But he's not. He's supposed to be this leader of this big, powerful Legion of Doom-like group almost. It's just terrible. So he basically says, I'm taking Kofi's place in the Royal Rumble because he took my place at WrestleMania. And you're going to win the Royal Rumble. Everybody just laughs at it. See, that's the problem. Everybody just laughs at it. It's not like it's a serious thing. It's not like we're saying, oh, wow, and this could lead to Ali winning almost like Kofi did, and then going to WrestleMania, well, this is going to be Ali going to WrestleMania. Ali's not winning. He's not even going to come close to winning. So it doesn't work. It doesn't work on any level, Mike. I don't know why they're insisting on doing it this way.
It doesn't work on any level, you know, and like you said, I don't understand it. And look, at one point when Moxley was still there and we looked at him and we said, oh, my God, he looks really thin. You know, Moxley's, what, 6'4", whatever it is, 6'3", 6'4",
mm-hmm.
but he looked really thin, you know, at one point. But there's a difference because Moxley, I think he put a lot of that – when he went to AEW, he put a lot of that weight back on, and now he's 240, you know.
Right.
So whereas I don't think Mustafa Ali can do that. And you're right. They did – I mean, this is another example of them doing something that we said to do, but doing it too late.
Much too late. You're absolutely right. We called for this. Go back in our show's archive, and you'll hear us say, this is what you need to do when Ali comes back. But not make him the leader of Retribution. Totally different angle. Where Ali, who has some fan sympathy, says, you know, I don't hold any grudge, Kofi. But you got to understand, that was my spot. I don't know if I'll ever get another one. And then little by little, the aggravation grows. And he does attack Kofi and says, I'm wrong. I do hold a grudge. I hate you for what you did to me. It's a legit feud then. This, I'm going to go get a whole bunch of, God, this is just terrible. I can't even get into it because it makes my head explode how illogical and ridiculous it is. It's just terrible. So now all of a sudden, I guess, Retribution can win. Before, they couldn't beat anybody. We have some truly horrible comedy in the back with Riddle and R-Truth, who, you know, the show's really going downhill when R-Truth is seen like five times. It's almost like they you know, there was a hurricane or a blizzard and half the people couldn't make it. And at the last minute, they're like, uh-oh, what do we do? Well, we'll stretch one match into three matches. We'll have R-Truth come out a bunch of times. We'll have this match turn into a two-on-one match later. It's almost like nobody showed up. That's what I kept thinking all night long is, did anybody show up? Why are you using people two and three and four times? Now, if there was any bright spot, and believe me, it wasn't a very bright spot, it was Sheamus versus Morrison. This is the best we've seen Morrison in a long time. And Sheamus is actually taking his newest run more seriously, I think, than the rest of the people. He's doing some of his better work. But the WWE couldn't help it. They have to turn this into a two-on-one match, too. And that kind of takes away the drama of it. The thing is this. Did they do good in-ring work? Yes. These are two professionals. They didn't dog it. They didn't forget what they're supposed to do. But at the end of the day, nobody cares about it. I don't know one wrestling fan who says, oh, come on, Sheamus, pull this one out. I hate Morrison. No, nobody cares. They're just watching it going, yeah, whoever wins, whatever. Oh, now it's going to be the Miz and Morrison again. Okay, whatever. There's too much of this show that's just okay, whatever. So nobody really cared about this match. So it's a good match, Todd, but nobody really cared about the participants.
Well, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, it was a pretty good match last night. And like with Sheamus, he's taking this face run seriously, and everybody else is not taking their runs as a heel or face runs. Not that serious. Is this?
Yeah, I don't know if they're not taking it serious. I think they're just getting lazy. They're just saying there's no fans here. I'll still be cheered no matter what I do because the button says cheer. I'll still be booed no matter what I do because the audio button says boo. It's not good. It's not good. So, Mike, you know, listen, yes, Sheamus is doing good work, but does anybody really care?
No, nobody really cares. And you see, you know, think about it. You look at, to do the exact same thing with NXT with the whole freaking the whole Thunderdome deal and stuff like that. Whereas you look at AEW, I mean, yeah, you make fun of them because a lot of their crowd is, you know, workers and stuff, but at least they're getting some sort of feedback, you know. At least they're not going to be, I've said this before, AEW is not going to be able to do a Thunderdome-based thing. Tony Khan isn't going to do that, right? So, yeah, you can understand them doing that. So, yeah. Yeah. At least the wrestlers are getting feedback for what they're doing. The WWE...
Yeah, but you're right. But, Mike, why can't they, if they're stalling for time, if they're saying, well, we don't have a lot of matches, we got to use R-Truth 4 times, we got to use Charlotte Flair 3 times. If they don't have a lot going on, could you not have given us 2 minutes where The Miz and Morrison said to each other, you know what's going to happen here? You're going to try to cash in your Money in the Bank match, your Money in the Bank briefcase during that title match. And if it does happen to be Drew McIntyre, what do you think Sheamus might do? Think he might come down and be watching and protecting his friend? Maybe we better take him out before Sunday. Then this match would have made sense. Where they attack Sheamus in the back, and Sheamus says, I demand a match with Morrison. And then The Miz comes down, and we get this. This would have made some sense. No, you don't even bother. It's just like, oh, that's too much trouble. We'd rather have Charlotte Flair get knocked down. By the way, if this is supposed to be the woman's right, how come she didn't go down like a shot? How come she just kind of went, oh, wow, that hurt a little bit. Let me just lay against the locker. Oh, because it's a hard floor. I don't want to fall too hard. Jesus. My God. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why we bother at this point. I'm telling you right now, Raw is getting to be unwatchable. It's unwatchable. We then have AJ Styles, who is my favorite wrestler on Raw, in a ridiculous skit. By the way, him and Omos have zero chemistry. Zero chemistry. There are times when I think the guy that he's going against has more chemistry with Omos than AJ Styles. This is not working. Either do something with the guy or get rid of him. R-Truth is saying, I think I should be in the Royal Rumble. Yeah, you think? Well, he is the 24/7 champion. After all, he makes more sense than putting somebody in the Rumble who hasn't done a goddamn thing, like Edge, who we'll get to in a minute. And Adam Pearce, who has two facial expressions, one, his jaw hanging open like he's trying to catch a fly, and two, like somebody farted. Makes a couple facial expressions and says, I don't know. And then here comes AJ Styles, who says, well, I don't have anything to do. You don't know, he has nothing to do. You have AJ Styles on a show, and he has nothing to do. That makes sense. I'm just kicking around backstage because I got nothing to do. I decided I'd come here and just hang out even though I'm not booked. God help us all. So I guess I'll take him on, and if he wins, then – and by the way, Adam Pearce then says, well, I'll take it under advisement if you win. Take it under advisement? What's that mean? You could win and still not be in. So where's the upside, and why is AJ Styles even bothering? So, of course, this leads to AJ Styles in a very non-AJ Styles-like match. Absolutely mailed it in last night. Absolutely just said, whatever, who cares? 3 minutes and out. Lord have mercy. R-Truth is not funny anymore. He's run out of things to be funny about. That's where the problem is. Now, earlier in the night, we saw him come down when the Hurt Business was in the ring to give, I guess, just to give MVP a present. And, man, have you blown the Hurt Business. At one point, they were so good that I said to myself, this is going to be real interesting for a long time. They've got it cranking on all cylinders. They have found a guy that can talk for Bobby Lashley. They have found a guy who can talk for Shelton Benjamin. They found a guy who can talk for Cedric Alexander. And he can really talk. And they have found a team that makes sense, that looks very lethal. They have a huge, huge powerhouse. They have a technical expert in Benjamin. And they have a high flyer in Cedric. They've got the best of all three types of wrestling. They've got all the belts. When their music hits, you know somebody's getting their ass kicked. This is looking good. And they have turned them into a clown show. Laurel and Hardy. I designed the jewelry. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. And Lashley saying nothing. Because if you ask him to say anything other than his name, he forgets. It's, and by the way, MVP, who used to be so good on the mic because what he was saying was logical. You know, he'd sit at the booth sometimes and say, I'm not taking anything away from Drew McIntyre. I know how tough Drew McIntyre is. What, do you think I'm stupid? I don't have eyes? I'm not saying we're, you know, going to cakewalk over Drew McIntyre. But we can beat him. We know how to beat him. See, he never went too far. He always made a convincing heel because he did give credit where credit was due. He didn't undermine people. He just said, we're better. But you can't keep Cedric Alexander in line, right? You're so good at what you do, you can't keep Cedric Alexander in line. Now, I don't know if this is going to lead to what I think it's going to lead to, which is that Cedric Alexander was never, ever, ever really a part of the Hurt Business. He was there to work the inside and destroy them, which I'm starting to think might be the case, or that he's just a goofball. I don't know. But either way, you've ruined the Hurt Business. R-Truth comes out and says, THB means Truth Happy Birthday, right? That's my present. But, yeah, that's funny. That's immensely funny. And then they all just got to sit there and go, duh, because they don't even know what to say to it. It's just terrible. You destroyed the Hurt Business. Such a shame, Mike, to see what could have been gold just turned into absolute garbage literally within a month.
Right. As far as I was concerned, you know, at one point that you know, we see one of these, another addition to the Hurt Business at one point. And that was back when, when their music hit, like you said, you knew somebody's ass was going to get kicked. You know, you just knew it. And that's the thing. Now, why would anybody else want to be in this group when it looks like, one, they're going to break up, two, all the cachet that they had is sort of gone. I mean, how can you ruin a guy that's that good on the mic? How can you do it? I mean, obviously the WWE has found a way to do it, but how did they do that?
Well, you know how? By undermining the people around them. In other words, the minute they got the tag team championships, what should have been the crowning moment for the Hurt Business, where they could say, for the next 2 or 3 months, you guys are going to rule. A week later, they're bickering. A week later, they're losing matches solo. This is what the WWE does. We've handed you the tag team belts. You lose every single solo match and every single non-title match in history repeatedly over and over and over again. That's what you do. We hand you the Intercontinental or the U.S. belt. Not Bobby Lashley doesn't, but we hand you the Intercontinental belt sometimes or the U.S. belt, and then you lose as long as it's non-title. This is not a way to further the importance of your belt or your champions. Does anybody take the Hurt Business serious as champions right now? Raise your hand. Anybody think this is a great tag team who is going to be tough to beat? No. Do we think we're ever going to see a match where they're on the same page and they look dominant? No. So what's the point? We're just waiting for them to break up. So we just sit there saying, yeah, yeah, it's coming. Yeah, we know what's up. What's the point? So then we're told Matt Riddle is going to have a gauntlet match with the Hurt Business. One guy. Remember when the Hurt Business was taking on Retribution and there was like 30 Retribution? And they were kicking their asses? And there was only like three of them at the time? And they were literally kicking 30 guys' asses and looking like badasses. Now they have to run a gauntlet match with Matt Riddle and they're worried. Don't take him lightly. We got to get in there and really, you know, squash him from the beginning. Don't let him get past guy number one. Did anyone above the age of 8 think that Matt Riddle was losing this match? The minute it was announced, I said, well, gee, let me think what's going to happen here. Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin are going to cost each other the matches by arguing and bickering, and MVP is going to lose his legit, and we're going to get yet another Riddle versus Lashley match, which I don't understand because Riddle lost decisively by submission the last time they fought. Decisively by submission the last time they fought. Why is he even getting an opportunity to get another chance? How many chances? Jesus, you know what that's like? That's like saying, well, I'm going to give you 100 chances. And you won once out of 100 times, which means your win ratio is 1%, but you're the champion. You would think that the logic would be if you give anyone 10 chances against a champion, they'll win once. That's how good all of our guys are. That's what it should be. See, that's where the WWE gets it confused. WWE roster should be any guy on this roster, if they're given chance after chance after chance after chance after chance, will upset the champion eventually because none of our guys are you know, garbage. You're not going to fight the same guy 10 times in a row and you're going to beat him every single time because we don't have guys like that on the roster. Any guy on our roster is capable. No, the WWE doesn't think that way. So you undermine everybody. It's ridiculous. How come Keith Lee doesn't have 10 chances? How come Bill Goldberg even has one chance? And not to go back to it, but how come Bill Goldberg didn't come out and clarify what he said about how he makes fun of the legends or whatever? Because remember when that was a storyline and it went nowhere? Don't know what to tell you. So, of course, exactly what we said is going to happen happened. Shelton Benjamin goes in first, and because of the distraction of Cedric Alexander, he loses, and then MVP is second, and he doesn't even do anything because he's trying to separate Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander and gets rolled up into a submission. And then Cedric Alexander hot dogs and loses. Didn't have to watch this match. You could have sent me the match and I would have said, oh, this is what's going to happen. I don't want to see Riddle against Bobby Lashley again. But you know what? There is nobody else. There's nobody else. They've got nothing. I'm telling you right now, folks, the WWE is on their last legs. And I'm going to tell you this, too. I'm going to be fair and honest about everything I see on this show, because that's what I said I'm going to do. But as God is my witness, if I did not have this show, I would not watch Raw. If I wasn't here to report it, I would not watch it. Now, if it's good, I'll tell you, hey, that was really good. I enjoyed it. But I'm telling you right now, if I was just being a fan and I had no show to do, I would not watch Raw because there's not a soul on there anymore I have any interest in. You've destroyed my interest in all of them, and that includes The Fiend, and we're going to get to that in a minute. I don't know, Todd, what do you think about this? I mean, I just don't see anything in Matt Riddle at all, and I just don't see why giving him chance after chance after chance is a good thing to do.
absolutely right there, like you said about giving Matt Riddle chance after chance after chance. You know people are getting tired to see it, but they got nobody else, technically.
Mike, why can't one champion, why can't Bobby Lashley take that microphone and say, wait a minute, we're in the WWE. I consider myself among the very best to ever be in the WWE, but if you give anyone 10 chances, eventually, these are top-quality athletes. Every guy in the dressing room is a top-quality athlete. If you give anyone 10 chances, they're going to win 1 out of 10. That's why we don't. That's why we don't give the same guy 10 chances. How many chances is Matt Riddle going to get? And at least I'd applaud that and say, wow, that sounds very, you know, realistic. Instead, it's just like, oh, no, this is the common way it operates. You keep losing, but you still get another chance, or you come out of retirement and instantly get a chance.
And that's the thing. I mean, why? And we've said it before. The WWE have a habit of doing this, and they didn't used to have this habit. And I don't know why they've gotten into such bad habits. Well, the laziness, we know why, because they've got their money and whatever. But the lack of changing in character on the fly and all this other stuff, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I really don't. I don't understand where they're going with all this. You know, the thing that occurs to me is this. I was watching an interview with an actor who did some television and also some stage. And he was asked the difference. And he said it's an immeasurable difference. Immeasurable difference. Because you're playing to the crowd. And you have instant feedback. And you have instant reaction. And on television, you're playing to a camera and there is no real reaction. So you don't know. You think you killed it. You think you did a great job. You think this is very funny, but you're not sure because there's nobody there. So you got to wait to see what people think of the TV show. Well, that's what happened to wrestling. These wrestlers used to get instant feedback. Well, that sure didn't work. I'm not going to do that again. I tried this move and got dead reaction. So maybe that's not working for me. I did this and I got a huge pop. I guess the fans like this. I'll keep doing it. Now it's all electronically controlled by a sound engineer backstage. So you say a catchphrase and everybody hits the yay button. You're like, oh, my catchphrase is over. No, it's not. People at home are like, that sucked. That's terrible. But, oh, we don't know that, do we? You do your new finisher and we're laughing at it at home. But it's yay, oh, on the soundtrack. So that wrestler don't know, oh, I guess that's a great finisher, man. That's a great move. I'm getting a pop from the sound crew. But if you were there in front of fans, you might say, ooh, no, that didn't work, did it? There is no feedback. The feedback is phony. It's okay for the fight to be phony, but goddamn, the feedback can't be. Everything can't be. Well, this is the product you get. So what do we come to? We come to the feature match, which is exactly the same feature match as we had last week. Now, once again, I'm going to tell you, Alexa Bliss is doing a fantastic job in the role she's given. We complained and said it was meant for Liv Morgan, and we complained and said this probably doesn't suit Alexa Bliss, but at the end of the day, they made the right choice because I don't think any of them could do a better job than this. Having said that, this is getting ridiculous. This is getting positively, absolutely, 100% ridiculous. And worse than ridiculous, it's growing into we don't even care. With Edge announcing, I'm coming back to the Royal Rumble, we are already looking to, well, what's that going to be with Randy Orton? Well, we shouldn't be doing that. The Randy Orton storyline is supposed to be revolving around The Fiend and Alexa Bliss without throwing Edge in it. So now that's convoluted. And the one thing in this entire Alexa Bliss angle that I actually like a lot and you should be playing up, and you're underplaying instead of overplaying. When has the WWE ever done that? They usually overplay their hand every time. This time, when you should be overplaying your hand, you're underplaying it, is the times she snaps out of her trance. You have to play that up. You have to. More than just her crying and her music hitting, because her music hitting is the sound man backstage, so that's dumb. You shouldn't have her old music hitting. When she snaps out of this, she has to continually say to her opponent, I need help. You need to help me. I don't want this. And then snap back into it. But the only way you need to do that is if you want to make the Fiend a heel. Because if he is controlling a woman against her will and forcing her to do things she does not want to do, that is not a face. So how are we supposed to root for him against Randy Orton? You got to make up your mind. I'm all for the angle where she's somewhat possessed and snaps out of it, because if you give her a really – see, what should happen is this. If you give her a really hard knock where she takes a bump, it snaps her out of it for a minute. Intense amount of physical pain snaps her out of it for a minute. But then she goes right back into it. But then the Fiend has to be a heel of the worst nature. In which case, Randy Orton's a face for trying to get rid of him, right? So that does not work. I don't know why you booked this if that's what you want to do. You could do that eventually. But let's get past Randy Orton then. Don't have her snapping out of it then at all. Have her, no, he's my friend. Then when you get by the Randy Orton thing, if you want to turn the Fiend back into a horrible, terrible person, fine. But you can't do it in the middle of this because, it doesn't make sense. Who do we root for then? A guy who has some kind of weird control over a woman and is forcing her to do things she doesn't want to do, or Randy Orton who got rid of him? It doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. Stuck in the middle of this nonsense. Probably the best female wrestler on the roster and the most interesting. And she's stuck in this nonsense. At least this time they didn't make her afraid of her. She came after her with a vengeance. But what do? They do exactly what I said I didn't like about the whole Matt Hardy Woken thing. They do things that if there was fans there, they could never do. And when fans return, they'll never be able to do. Asuka gets thrown outside the ring, and when she turns around, there's a rocking horse in the ring, and she's rocking on it. And the announcers do not say, where did that come from? How in the world? And then worse than that, when she snaps out of it, and Asuka's a little taken aback, which is fine. The next thing you know, the lights go out, and she's a totally different person when the lights come back on. Well, that's amazing. How are you going to do that live? How are you going to change your hairstyle or makeup, everything? How are you going to do that live? You're not, is the answer. So now you're playing to the pandemic. You're saying, oh, this is great. No fans. Yay, we can do all kinds of shit. Maybe we should never have the fans back. I mean, I don't get this. I'm losing interest in the Fiend thing. Show up or don't. Now, he's probably going to show up at the Royal Rumble. I don't know if this is going to have anything to do with Edge. I really don't care. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I don't care. And the reason I don't care is you got to keep bringing these people back, don't you? You got to keep bringing back the Goldbergs and the Undertakers and the Edges, because you've got no one that anybody's interested in. That's pathetic. It's pathetic. Finish this storyline before you start the Edge Orton storyline. Finish it. Finish this storyline before you start the storyline that Alexa Bliss is a prisoner, not a willing participant. Finish it. One storyline at a time here for per athlete, please, because when there's seven of them and three of them make no sense, I thought Alexa Bliss was so upset when the Fiend was burned. So let me get this straight. Randy Orton burns the Fiend alive, and it doesn't snap Alexa Bliss out of her trance because the person who has her in the trance is technically gone. But a stiff knee from Asuka does. Doesn't make sense. Wouldn't it have been much better if Alexa Bliss came out like nothing had ever changed with her the week after the Fiend was burned, but then little by little starts to go back into it? Because then you'd be able to say, oh, he must be coming back. Some of that power is starting to come back into Alexa Bliss. Not as much as it was before. Once in a while, she starts to act a little weird again. And then full-fledged, hits Randy Orton in the face with a fireball. And you know, well, that's it. He's back. No, can't do that. That makes too much sense. So was this a title match for Asuka, or is this just a setup for Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton? That's what it is. And now they're talking about some ridiculous thing where they might do Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton. If they do this, seriously, if they do this, it's over, folks. I'm telling you, it's over. Alexa Bliss is 5 foot nothing. I don't care if you want to do this ridiculous supernatural angle. And yes, of course, we know what's going to happen. They're going to patty cake each other for 3 minutes and then the Fiend will show up or something. I get it, but I don't want to see it. Don't want to see it. She's doing a good job on the acting department. And the only thing I'm interested in with her is his storyline of she snaps out of it once in a while and appears to not be there of her own free will. I love that storyline. I wish you had taken Randy Orton completely out of this so that I could effectively say the Fiend is a heel. He's keeping her there against her will. When she snaps out of it, she's in terrible distress. She's crying for help. Nobody can seem to do it. Somebody's going to have to step up. That's the storyline I would love to be enjoying. Instead, I'm saying I can't wait for the guy to come back that's keeping her in distress so he can beat up the guy who technically tried to free her from the distress. Mike, you understand what I'm saying? They've written this into a circle, and none of it makes any sense now.
Right, and that's the thing. And then look, I mean, again, where has Nikki Cross been? I guess they've dropped it, but what should happen next week on Raw, and it's probably not, but what should happen next week is a backstage segment with Asuka and Nikki Cross, and Nikki Cross is saying to Asuka, "Well, now you see what I'm talking about. It's not her, you know." That's what should happen next week.
I would have much rather seen the Fiend get burned up like that, and then Alexa Bliss come out on Monday Night Raw the next night, totally Alexa Bliss, and have Nikki Cross say to her, "What's going on? Oh, where have you been? Feels like I haven't seen you in forever." And just doesn't know any of this stuff. But then, as you're starting week by week, even if you want to start it at the end of the episode with her having just a little 10-second relapse to hint to the fans that he's coming back and he's going to get a hold of her again. It would have been a much more compelling storyline for Nikki Cross to say he's coming back. Can't you see it? Can't you see that in certain moments you're fritzing out again? And her saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. I'm perfectly fine." Then it would have made sense for Asuka to get in that ring and have Alexa Bliss say, "You know, thank you for giving me the opportunity of the title shot and this, that, and the other thing." And then she sort of fritzes out and Asuka to say, "He's still here. The Fiend is still here." And to have Alexa Bliss say, "I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?" And then during the middle of that match, if those lights went boom, 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 and she turned into that thing, that would have been a moment where you say, "Holy shit, he really is here. And look what he did to Alexa Bliss." That would have been cool. It would have been a logical progression of a storyline. This is not. This is just a mess and a clusterfuck. And the reason it is because you're blurring the lines. Once again, if Alexa Bliss is an innocent victim of this, then the Fiend is a heel. if Randy Orton burned up the heel in order to, even if just for his own benefit, but inadvertently helps Alexa Bliss, then he's a face, no? The guy who slays the monster is the hero. The guy who frees the damsel in distress is the hero. He's not the heel. So I don't get it. I don't get where you're going with this. And because I don't get it at all, I don't care. You're throwing Edge into the mix now? For what reason? We want to see another Edge Randy Orton match, like I want to see another Tatanka Lex Luger match. I don't care. I just don't. Every single person on Raw has developed into a character I really don't care about. So when they're having a match, when they're getting wrong, when they're trying to right a wrong, I'm just saying, eh, I don't care. I like Sheamus. He's a good worker. But, you know, whatever. He's going to win. He's going to lose. I don't care. AJ Styles is a great athlete. It's fun to watch him. It's going nowhere. I don't care. The tag team champions are bickering. Eh, they're going to lose it eventually. The Hurt Business is going to break up. I don't care. Why don't I care? That's the job of you writers. And you're making it such a convoluted mess that no one cares. I've just given you a very compelling storyline to which everybody would care about the welfare of Alexa Bliss if it was done right. But then from the very beginning, you had to say, look, we're keeping the Fiend a heel. So we're not going to do this Randy Orton nonsense. If we do, it's only going to be to show that when the Fiend isn't here, Alexa Bliss is free. So when the Fiend comes back, he really is a heel. And you've got to have that one moment where Alexa Bliss realizes it's happening, where Alexa Bliss realizes he's coming back and goes to Nikki Cross or goes to someone and says, you're right, he's coming back, help me, before it's too late. And then, boom, he's back. Then you have something. Then you actually have the protagonist, whoever that might be, being in the right saying, I'm not going to allow this to happen. The Fiend has to be stopped. Great. That's a great plot. Love it. Give me the protagonist. I don't care who it is. And I'll root for him. But in the meantime, you can't have Edge coming back to start his feud again with Randy Orton, who has a feud with The Fiend, who he may be the heel, he may be the face, we're not really sure. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's making it boring. How am I supposed to root for Alexa Bliss when Asuka's a face? Asuka's a face and she's very popular. We don't want her to lose her belt to Alexa Bliss, at least I don't. Because I know Alexa Bliss is not going to be able to put on those quality type matches that I'd like to see. It's all going to be this nonsense. I don't want it, the women's belt to just turn into supernatural nonsense. I want it to be a well-fought match. So I have to root for Asuka, which means that I guess Alexa Bliss is the heel. Well, if she's the heel, then Randy Orton's a face. And everything he did can be construed. You see, they're doing this again. Remember when he burnt down the Bray Wyatt's house? And you say, well, Randy Orton's definitely a heel now. He burnt down Bray Wyatt's house. Bray Wyatt collapsed in a heap and was crying and everything, and now we're going to switch the tape. Oh, no, we're not. Bray Wyatt's still the heel. So I guess Randy Orton's justified in what he did then, right? If you burn up Jason at the end of the movie, you're not the bad guy. You're the good guy. You saved everybody. So why are you making Randy Orton act like a heel? Then Randy Orton should be taking credit for that. Randy Orton should be saying, this is a monster, and he needs to be destroyed. And you're not going to do it with a headlock, and you're not going to do it with a hammerlock, and you're not going to do it with a dropkick, period. And so I'm the sickest, most psycho guy next to him in this federation, and I did it. I did what needed to be done, and no, I don't regret it. Then it makes sense. This doesn't. It's all over the place, Todd. It's who's the heel, who's the – we don't even know. There's no cohesive storyline.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the Randy Orton, the Alexa Bliss, the Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, and Edge, we don't know who is the actual face or any actual heel. It's more like a stupid gray area.
It is, and at least, you know, Asuka, you can say what you want about her not having a grasp of the language, but she sold the deal with Alexa Bliss snapping out of it very well. She sold it like, I understand what's going on here, and I'm not 100% sure what to do. Half of me wants to help her, half of me wants to finish this match. You have a good thing going with that, because Alexa Bliss does this well, Mike, but if you're not going to run with it in the right way, then it just becomes confusing.
Yeah, there's a reason why we say, generally speaking, SmackDown is much better than Raw, even on its bad days. You know, there are guys, you look at SmackDown and there are characters you care about. You care about the matches they're promoting. You care. You generally care. You care about the storylines. I mean, yeah, there have been bad nights on SmackDown. We've seen it, but a bad night on SmackDown would be a good night on Raw. I mean, no joke there.
There's no question about it. I mean, if you take this, we gave, I believe, SmackDown an overall grade of about a C. If you want to compare it side by side with this, it's an A+. I mean, this is just horrendous. This is the worst I think I've ever seen. Nothing makes any sense. It's just terrible. I'm sorry. I know there are probably a small amount of you saying, I didn't think it was that bad. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I can tell you this. There were times when I was angry. There were times when I was bored. And there were times when I downright laughed out loud and said, this is just ridiculous. This is just grown men making fools and women making fools of themselves. Making total and complete fools of themselves. Mike, I don't know. I'm not sure they can correct this at this point because there's no one we care about. Mike, are you there? Mike is not.
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Hello.
Yep, we got you now.
Okay. To tell you the truth, I'm almost wishing. We know Becky Lynch is coming back. We know that for sure. I'm almost wishing that she doesn't come back because they'll ruin her too. You know. I mean, really.
They probably will.
Yeah. And we basically all but said what should happen when she comes back, when both her and Rollins come back together. We've also said what should happen, and there's no doubt what should happen there. Make them both monster faces and go from there, you know. Now, and make them sort of a power couple, maybe, maybe not, but, you know, go from there. But again, they'd ruin that. They'd ruin that big time, you know?
They really have. I just don't know. SmackDown, they're less likely to ruin because there are characters I care about on there. There are more characters. I mean, just one is more than I care about on Raw because right now I don't. I still like to follow what's going on with Asuka because I think she's a good wrestler. And I think Alexa Bliss is doing a really, really good job. So that's, I guess, a little bit of caring. But I mean, here's your big reveal. Edge is coming to the Royal Rumble. And I guess we're all supposed to go, I don't care. He's not winning it. Who's he going to go against? Goldberg or Drew McIntyre? No. So, you know, it's not going to happen. You know, it's a setup for Randy Orton. He's going to throw Randy Orton out of the Royal Rumble. Why? Are we going to get some kind of thing with a Fiend? Are we going to get anything? Or are we just going to shoot directly into Edge and Randy Orton? I don't know. I mean, this is terrible. Anyway, folks, before we give you our rating on this week's Monday Night Raw, we got to tell you that our ratings are brought to you by Inside Heat Sports and Collectibles. They are a live auction Facebook group, as well as an eBay store. The Facebook group holds weekly auctions in which you can get anything from baseball cards, memorabilia, signed autographs, wrestling, baseball, football, hockey, basketball, you name it, they have it, including comic books, at a very, very reasonable price, because you're not competing on a huge, huge scale with hundreds of thousands of people. If you go to their Facebook group, you'll only be competing with a private group of collectors. Okay, so check them out, Inside Heat Sports and Collectibles, on the Facebook group. Yes, they do have an eBay store, in case you don't want to compete with anybody and just want to buy your stuff instantly. Inside Heat Sports and Collectibles on eBay, and soon to have their first brick-and-mortar store in New Jersey. More coming on that. Anyway, I guess you've guessed mine is an F. And my only regret is that I can't give it worse than an F. Because if anyone in their right mind thinks that anybody even tried hard on this show, you've lost your mind. This was called, we are throwing, this is a leftover, this is the hobo stew of professional wrestling. This is called what's left, leftovers in the refrigerator, throw it in a pot, cook it up, throw it under your nose, eat it or don't. And what makes it even more egregious is this just wasn't a normal show. This is your go-home show. This is your go-home show to the Royal Rumble. And it's hobo stew. That's absolutely unacceptable. And at some point, fans have got to make their voices heard. I don't know how in this current state. And let the WWE know we're not going to be fed hobo stew as a go-home show for one of your most important pay-per-views, Road to WrestleMania. It's not good enough. You better start showing you care about the people who allowed you to sign a billion-dollar contract with Peacock, who allowed you to sign a billion-dollar contract with Fox, who allowed you to sign a billion-dollar contract with Saudi Arabia because of our loyalty to your product. We're the ones who got you there. We brought you to the dance. And now you're saying, oh, there's better people to dance with. This is exactly what's happening. Our bread ain't buttered with you anymore. Sorry. We got our billions in our back pocket. Eat your hobo stew and shut up. So I'm giving this a flat F. I mean, I see nothing other than Alexa Bliss's great portrayal of this character and Sheamus still trying hard as any kind of a positive on this show. Everything else was absolutely 100% the pits. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I agree with you. I gotta give it an F. The only thing I liked was good was the Sheamus thing. That's it, technically.
Yeah, look, you know, we were online talking to some people at the time, and there were people saying, I'm switching over. I'm switching. I'm not watching this anymore. Diehard wrestling fans are saying, I've turned it off. I don't care. That's not a good sign, Mike. I mean, they're losing people, and they're losing them rapidly. Having a little trouble with the phone lines. Hang on there, and we'll get to Mike and his rating as soon as Blog Talk allows us to. For some reason, we're having a little bit of trouble with the phone lines. So I'll talk another minute, and maybe the phone lines will suddenly become magically working again. This happens quite a bit, folks, and we are having a storm, to be fair. We're having quite a snowstorm here in New York, so maybe that has something to do with it. Yeah, there's nothing good to report when you're literally talking to a group of wrestling fans who are devout wrestling fans, who grew up wrestling fans, and they're turning it off. Then I'm sorry to tell you, You're losing them all. We're going to have Mike call back in order to get his rating because for some reason it's not working. Yeah, look, we have some people saying, don't think it was the worst one ever, but it was extraordinarily bad. I don't know. You know, if there was a worse one, I don't remember it. There could have been, I suppose. But I think what makes this possibly the worst one of all time is this is the go-home show, not for a minor pay-per-view. This is not the go-home show for a minor pay-per-view. This is the go-home show for a major pay-per-view. The pay-per-view that starts the road to WrestleMania, and that's the best you could come up with. Let's try it again. Let's see if we can get Mike on the line now. And what's your rating, Mike?
The only two things that saved this show for me, and it's going to be a D-minus, were the Oscar and the Oscar, that whole situation, and, of course, the Sheamus match. The Oscar match, because not only because she's playing that, not only because Alexa's playing it really well, but Oscar's reactions. I mean, is there no doubt that she is the number one wrestler in the world? Not just in the WWE, in the world.
No, I agree with you. And that's why I can't give, unlike you, I can't give her credit. And here's why. You're right. She's the number one wrestler in the world, and her reactions were fantastic, and she's put in a situation where she isn't even really a part of this. She's just a prop in a match. Asuka was just a prop last night. The greatest women's wrestler probably in the world was a prop. We would have bad taste in my mouth. You're right. Her reactions were fantastic. You're right. She did as good a job as she could possibly do. Unfortunately, the WWE sees her now as a prop. Their golden girl is back. They don't give a damn about Asuka. And that's why it didn't help my rating at all, because no matter how good Asuka did her job, I see what the WWE has in store for her, and I don't like it. We'll see you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.